week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the February 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. A sweet Valentine's Day hat trick by Gabon's 2015 African Footballer of the Year tops Monday's show. And for that story, we turn to Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you and happy belated Valentine's to all our viewing listeners who keep us going and listen to us all day, every day. Gabon's keeper Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang notched up another major career milestone when he scored his first Premier League hat-trick in Arsenal's 4-2 win against Leeds United. The Ghana's captain cutting off the left flank to rifle home the opener inside the first quarter hour at the Emirates Stadium before converting from the penalty spot just before the break after English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka was fouled. Hector Bellerin slotted home a third on the stroke of halftime, but it was Aubameyang who wrote himself a new chapter after he headed home Emil Smith-Rowe's cross at the far post after the restart in North London to take him to 200 goals across Europe's top five leagues. The 31-year-old who has so far endured a drier spell this season had this to say about his hat-trick.
Really happy, and my kids gonna be happy because they're gonna get it. But yeah, really happy about the performance from the team today. We knew that it's gonna be a hard game. They never gave up till the end. They fought a lot, so I think we had a good game management at the end, and we won this game.
Aubameyang is the third player in Premier League history to score a hat-trick on Valentine's Day after Martley Tizier against Liverpool in 1994 and Michael Owen against Sheffield Wednesday in 1998. The Gunners faced Benfica in Athens in the Europa League on Thursday, while Leeds are in Premier League action travelling to Wolves on Friday. LK Gundogan netted twice for City after Rodrigo had opened the scoring from the penalty spot to ensure Manchester City cruised to a 3-0 win against Tottenham Hotspur at the Etihad Stadium. Pep Guardiola's men are now 7 points clear at the summit, ahead of Manchester United, who are held to a 1-1 draw by West Bromwich Albion at the Hawthorns. West Brom travel to Burnley in the league next Saturday, while United are in Europa League action on Thursday against Real Sociedad. Defending champions Liverpool suffered a 3-1 defeat at Leicester City. Liverpool were leading 1-0 through Mo Salah's 67th-minute opener before the Foxes hit back with 3 goals in the closing stages from James Maddison, Jamie Vardy and Harvey Barnes. It was Liverpool's third consecutive league defeat, prompting Jurgen Klopp to write off any hopes of retaining the title this season.
No, I don't think we can close that gap this year, to be honest. We have to win football games. And big parts of our football was today, again, really, really good. We have to do it more consistently. We have to avoid mistakes. We have to avoid misunderstanding. We cannot avoid mistakes of VAR or stuff like this, but all the rest, which is in our hands, we have to avoid. Today, in two situations, we didn't do that. That's why they could score 2 goals.
Does Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp's post-match comments after Liverpool's loss to Leicester City? Chelsea entertain Newcastle United on Monday, and the Blues will be looking to make it 5 wins in a row in all competitions under new head coach Thomas Tuchel. Newcastle came into the game off the back of 2 wins in their last 3 games in the Premier League, as pressure has slightly eased on manager Steve Bruce. Moving on to the French league, Paris Saint-Germain geared up for the Champions League trip to Barcelona with a 2-1 home win against Nice. Italy striker of Ivorian descent Moise Kean netted the winner after Ronnie Lopez's 50th-minute goal had cancelled out Julian Draxler's opener for PSG in the first half. The French champions are on 54 points from 25 games, point behind league leaders Lille, were held to a goalless home draw by Brest. The Northerners, with a goal disallowed by the VAR, have 55 points from 25 games. Third place Lyon slammed to a 2-1 defeat at home against Montpellier that ended their four-game winning streak in the league. Fourth place Monaco avoided a first defeat in 2021 as French footballer of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder, who bagged a double, netted 3 minutes into stoppage time to salvage a point in a 2-2 home draw against Lorient. The Principality team are fourth on 49 points. And in Spain, Real Madrid eased to a third straight win in La Liga, as wonderful first-half strikes from French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema and Toni Kroos secured a comfortable 2-0 win against Valencia at the Bernabeu. The victory moved Madrid 3 points in front of third-place Barcelona, which routed Alaves 5-1 at home. Six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi brought his A-game on the table, scoring twice from outside the box to outclass their underwhelming opponent. It was Messi's record equaling 505th Spanish League appearance for Barcelona as he matched his former teammate Xavi Hernandez's tally. Barcelona are now third in La Liga with 46 points in 22 games. Atletico Madrid are still leading the table with a healthy margin of 8 points after overcoming conceding a second-half equalizer to score again and beat Granada 2-1 away from home. Marcus Llorente put Atletico in front in the 63rd minute with a low finish from the edge of the area. But the visitor says joy was short-lived as Venezuelan midfielder Yangel Herrera equalized for Granada 3 minutes later following a corner. Diego Simeone's side regained the lead in the 75th minute thanks to a heavily deflected effort from Argentina forward Angel Correa. And in Italy, Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku scored twice and took his tally to 300 career goals as Inter Milan moved top of Serie A with a 3-1 win over Lazio. Lukaku netted a penalty and doubled his tally at the end of the first half with a landmark goal. He also set up Lautaro Martinez for Inter's third shortly after Gonzalo Escalante had given Lazio hope. Inter leapfrogged a point above AC Milan, which surprisingly lost 2-0 at Spezia. The two teams meet in the Milan derby next Sunday. Napoli eased the pressure on boss Gennaro Gattuso as they beat Juventus to hold the Serie A champions' revival. Juventus captain Giorgio Chiellini had a game to forget in his 400th Serie A appearance as he handled the ball to give away the game's only goal, with Lorenzo Insigne scoring the penalty. Italian media reports had suggested that Gattuso could be sacked by Napoli if they had lost the game, but the win takes them up to fourth place, only 2 points behind Juve. And Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks, Prince. The Nigeria Football Federation has named Amina Dora as the new head of its women's football department. Iron Mike and Bonye asked Dora, can you tell our Sunny Side of Sports listeners about your agenda?
I have three main agendas. That is to grow women's football participation from the grassroots to the elite, to enhance the commercial value. That is to work with the relevant departments, such as the technical department, to identify areas of priority to improve the elite youth pathway system, and the marketing and communication department to build an effective communications campaign that raises awareness and promotes women's football, to empower, train, and build the capacity both on and off the pitch, to collect and build a database of relevant statistics about women's football so as to keep track of the progress in the country.
Morocco will host the next African Women Football Championship. Is Nigeria prepared to defend the trophy?
Of course, Nigeria is prepared to defend the trophy. Considering how Cote d'Ivoire knocked us out of the race to the Olympics, Nigeria has to really train and practice religiously in order to retain its premier spot in Africa and prove to the world it is the best in Africa.
Three female match officials, including the Nigerian, made history at CHAN by officiating in an all-male international match. What's your take on this?
Overwhelming, to say the least, as history was made in Africa. I mean, female officials in an all-male international match. That is proving what the FIFA president is clamoring for as regards to women's inclusion in world football. We thank him.
Do you think African female officials have potentials to officiate in future tournaments?
Of course they have. Why not? But they need more support from the NFF, Nigerian Football Federation. You know, we have to develop a system for training these female officials and also be given more opportunities to deliver and be part of the tournaments such as the Men's AFCON and the Men's FIFA World Cup.
That's Amina Dora, the head of the Women's Football Department at the Nigeria Football Federation. And she spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Amina Sanizangwandara, head of Women's Football, Nigeria Football Federation. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a story about a title victory by a mixed martial artist nicknamed the Nigerian Nightmare.
Undisputed welterweight champion, Nigerian-American Kamaru Usman cemented his position at the top of the 170-pound division by beating top contender Gilbert Burns at the UFC 258 in Las Vegas. Kamaru Usman, who is popularly known as the Nigerian Nightmare, stopped Gilbert Burns with punches 34 seconds into the third round, taking his record to 18-1, defending his title for the third time and breaking Georges St. Pierre's consecutive welterweight victories record in the process. The two rivals were formerly teammates at Florida Gym Sanford. After the result was announced, the pair shared an embrace in the middle of the octagon, with Burns in tears and Usman appearing to fight off emotions of his own.
Every day we work, and my coach says it to me all the time, be present in there, you know, and I tried to be present in there today. This one was very, very hard for me today, but, you know, I just tried to stay present, and the results and all the accolades are just going to pile up over time.
Usman now owns the longest winning streak in UFC welterweight history with a victory over Burns on Saturday.
I'm Kendra Harrison. I'm the 100 hurdle world record holder for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
And on to athletics, where Kenyan long distance runner who specializes in the 3,000 meter steeplechase, Beatrice Chepkoech, now owns two world records. On Sunday, the Kenyan distance runner who set the world record in the steeplechase in 2018 broke the women's world record in the 5,000 at the Monaco run by completing the road race in 14 minutes 43 seconds. Pending ratification, the victory improves on the previous 14 minutes 48 seconds record set by Caroline Kipkure in a mixed gender race and a women's only record of 14 minutes 44 seconds set by Sifan Hassan in 2019.
I'm so happy because I didn't expect. I was just doing it. It was so good, even though there was a lot of wind. I tried it a lot to follow my pacemaker, and then everything was so perfect.
In the men's category, Ugandan's Joshua Cheptegei, the 10,000 meters world champion on the track, won the men's race in 13 minutes, 14 seconds. He set the men's 5,000 kilometer record of 12 minutes, 51 seconds in Monaco last year.
It was really a good race, but the wind was incredibly difficult to break. I just feel that I have to, you know, run the best way I used to always run. And I didn't want something to distract me, especially with the gloves. And, you know, something small can distract your motivation and your mindset. So I just wanted to just run and defend the title.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a Devil Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. In African club football, Ghana's representative in the CAF Confederation Cup tournament is facing a tough road after losing at home to an Algerian opponent. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports from Accra, Ghana.
Ghana's Asante Kotoko at the weekend lost to Algerian side ES Tief by 2-1 in the first leg CAF Confederation Cup playoff at the Accra Sports Stadium. The first 45 minutes ended goalless despite both teams' counter-attacks display. The home side, Asante Kotoko, got the opener in the 70th minute through Kwampoku, but their jubilation lasted a little while when Setif attacker Mohamed Amoura equalized in the 74th minute. Setif raised the tempo of the game with counter-attacks, which fetched them the match winner scored in the 80th minute by Mohamed Kandusi. Ghanaian football analyst Nana Kwatin gave his comments.
Kotoko dominated the first half in terms of possession. They were playing very, very well. But with Setif coming in the second half, changed the game totally, because they introduced the top goal scorer in the Algerian league. He came in and he scored a very beautiful goal. But looking at the whole game itself, defensive-wise, Kotoko were a bit okay, but midfield was the problem, because the midfielders were not able to release passes to the strikers and also use their wings. So I think the main problem with Kotoko was the midfield. For my assessment, I think Kotoko doesn't have a chance in qualifying. I believe Setif would walk over Kotoko, because the kind of players that they have, and they are well organized.
That was Ghanaian football analyst Nana Kwatin. For the sunny side of sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the sunny side of sports on Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. Joining us now with some recent sports highlights is Douglas Mpuga.
The FIFA Club World Cup concluded in Qatar with the German giants Bayern Munich lifting the title. Egypt's Al Ahly finished third after defeating South American champions Palmeiras 3-2 in a penalty shootout after a goalless 90 minutes. There was no extra time at the end of the game, so the match went straight to penalties. Al Ahly performed well in the semi-final against the eventual winners, the Germans Bayern Munich. The record 9-time African champions' previous best performance at the club was in 2006, when they also finished third. Al Ahly's performance is Africa's best at the tournament since 2013, when Morocco's Raja Casablanca one of only two teams from the continent to finish runners-up, along with DR Congo's TP Mazembe in 2010, reached the final on home soil. Meanwhile, in the CAF Champions League, South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns went top of 2020-21 Group B, beating Sudan's Al Hilal 2-0 in Pretoria on Saturday. The 2016 champions topped the group on 3 points, two more than DR Congo's TP Mazembe and Algeria's CR Belouizdad, who played for a goalless draw earlier on the day. Mamelodi Sundowns face Belouizdad in Algeria in 10 days, while Hilal host TP Mazembe in Omdurman. In Group C, Horoi of Guinea beat Angola's Petro de Luanda 2-0 at General Lansana Conte Stadium in Nongo. Petro had to complete the game with 10 players after seeing Joachim Adawa sent off on the brink of halftime. In Group D, Tunisia's Esperance beat Senegal's Tengues 2-1 in Tunis. Meanwhile, in athletics, Ethiopia's Gudaf Tesgay set a new 1,500 meters indoor world record by finishing in 3 minutes 53.09 seconds on Tuesday at a meet in northern France. A world bronze medalist, Tesgay followed the fast tempo set by the pacemaker and held on to prevail over double European indoor champion Laura Muir and her teammate Melissa Kosne-Brandt. Moore set a new British indoor record by running 3 minutes 59.58 seconds. Tesgay took more than 2 seconds off the previous record set by Genzebe Dibaba in 2014. And in cricket, South Africa has confirmed a Pakistan match schedule. Pakistan will play 3 one-day internationals and 4 T20 internationals in South Africa in April. The touring team will stay in a biosecure environment and matches will be played at just 2 venues, that's the Super Sport Park in Centurion and the Wanderers Stadium in Johannesburg. The series will bring to an end in South Africa's home international season, which has been heavily affected by COVID-19. South Africa are currently in Pakistan, where they recently lost both matches in a 2-test series and are now playing a 2020 series.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Tens of thousands of Russians are playing American-style football, and the Federation of American Football in Russia says the sport is now being played in almost every region of the country. Jenya Dalu reports from Moscow.
In old Russia, there was a popular game played during big celebrations that involved men forming two lines, or walls, and then fist-fighting each other. Because of this tradition, some say American-style football is not foreign to Russians. American football got its start in the Soviet Union in the 1980s, when Russian Marines serving in the Far East region of the country reportedly picked up radio and TV transmissions of the U.S. football games. Later, those Marines went home and organized teams such as the Federals in Chelyabinsk.
In Russia, we still don't have enough of uniforms, but at that time, they used the motorcycle helmets. From steel bars, they were welding face guards, took hockey elbow, shin and chest pads, added a bit more foam rubber to those, and played.
American football in Russia has a rocky history. However, the sport gained popularity with the teams like the Moscow Bears and the Patriots. The team currently dominating the country is the Spartans, which won the 2018 and 2020 Russian championships and the 2019 Central European Football League Cup. Hunter Kaywood from the U.S. state of Georgia came to Russia to study for a master's degree and was recruited in 2019 by the Spartans. He says his teammates are like brothers to him.
Russians are some of the, strongest people I know. And I don't mean just mean strongest in terms of physicality, but also strong in terms of mentality. So, American football requires you to be mentally tough. You know, when you're, it's fourth quarter, you're tired, you feel, you have bruises all over your body, but you still need to step up and you need to make a play. And, these guys that I play with, they are mentally tough. They understand, this is what I'm going to do for my team. I'm going to sacrifice my body.
League players are committed to the sport, Even a defeat, the Perm Tigers lost the national championship to the Spartans in 2020, motivates them to continue, says Alexei Pashkov.
We're a small regional team. No one took us seriously, and here we are, in the finals of the Russian championship, took the second spot. And we should be an example for the other regional teams, so we can develop the sport in our cities and play with each other.
Teams struggle to find sponsors, particularly given Russians' biases toward the United States. Some say that while trying to raise money, local authorities have told them they should go to the U.S. if they want to play American football. So the players buy their own equipment and pay for the space to train and play.
You know, I'm always amazed by the talent that's able to that we can find here, you know, and football's not even that popular in Russia still. You know, if we can get some of the best athletes, maybe from basketball here or hockey or, you know, soccer, Russia could be one of the top European countries in football, I have no doubt.
Irusi said that the affection in Russia for American football shows that Russians and Americans do have some ties, despite a decades-long geopolitical divide. Jenny Adulo for VOA News, Moscow.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
In African boxing, Ghana's former world lightweight champion Richard Comey is in good position for another title shot after a knockout victory over the weekend. Comey stopped Dominican opponent Jackson Marinez with a 1-2 left-right combination in the sixth round of their non-title bout in Las Vegas, Nevada. This was Comey's first fight since he lost the IBF lightweight title 14 months ago to Teofimo Lopez. Comey says he had some ring rust at the start against Marinez, but then found his groove.
I think when we first started, I started very slow because, you know, I've been away for almost over a year. So it seems like I got to take my time a little bit just to get my rhythm. And, you know, my corner were telling me to do something. I mean, the same punch that took him down, they were telling me, it seems like my rhythm, like I didn't get my rhythm right. So as soon as I start getting the tell me that he's gone, he's like, he can't see, so I should just follow what I did. And, you know, I got a reward.
And the reward for Richard Comey might be another world title shot. On that same fight card in Las Vegas, Nigerian heavyweight Kingsley Ibe got knocked out in the sixth round by American Jared Anderson. The undefeated Anderson scored his eighth consecutive victory with a devastating left that knocked Ibe out cold. As one headline put it, Anderson knocked out Ibe into next week.
Hello, everyone. I am Principal Jichimera Shadil Musa, Uganda Bombers captain. I'm going to be representing Uganda, my country, in the forthcoming Olympics, Japan, Tokyo. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Turning to tennis, local favorite and world number one Ash Barty is through to the quarterfinals at the Australian Open. Craig Gabriel reports on Monday's action from Melbourne.
It's now 3 years in a row that Barty has made the quarters or better at the Australian Open, and she closed out American Shelby Rogers 6-3, 6-4. Barty will face Czech Kari Namukova. Matteo Berrettini gave Stefanos Tsitsipas a walkover because he has an abdominal injury. Americans Jennifer Brady and Jessica Pegula scored wins and meet in the quarters. Rafa Nadal, Andrei Rublev, and Daniil Medvedev all had easy wins. Craig Gabriel, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. Daniel Medvedev's easy win in Melbourne came in front of no fans. Australia's Victoria State is currently under a 5-day COVID-19 lockdown. Medvedev comments.
It makes you appreciate more things like the crowd here. We had it, now we don't have it, and we feel like we are missing it. So hopefully in a few days we're going to have it again. It's the same with everything.
February 15th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.